after you mark your songbooks to Imitation Song, which is 605, I'd invite you to get a Bible with me and turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 22, which is where I'll begin the lesson here in a minute. It's a privilege and an honor to be able to stand before you this morning and to have this opportunity to preach a lesson to you from God's Word while my dad is away doing gospel meeting work in Texas. And I would like to talk to you about when God became angry. I want to thank Jason for the good scripture reading from Nahum chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. We learn that God can become angry, and that when He does, His anger is poured out like fire. So in 2 Samuel chapter 22, beginning with verse 8, it says, "Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared, the foundations of the world were discovered, at the rebuking of the Lord and the blast of the breath of his nostrils." These passages right here very well describe the Lord's anger. But also in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 27, we find it says, "Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is a devouring fire." It's very important that you and I know what makes the Lord angry, and that we do our best not to stir him up to anger. So let's look at a couple things in the Bible that has made God angry. Beginning in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1, we find that when the people complained, that it made the Lord angry. It says in verse 1 of Numbers 11, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. The Lord heard it. His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp." The Israelite people complained about many things. They complained about things like food. They complained about their water. They complained about their leaders. And that there's many people today that complain about these such things. They complain about much more today as well. But another word for complain is murmur. And Paul warns us not to murmur as some of these also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10. But in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we find that it says, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased." And in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, it tells us to do all things without murmurings and without disputings. So we need to learn not to complain. But we need to learn to be content, as Hebrews 13 and verse 5 tells us, to be content with such things as ye have. We need to realize that complaining, it makes God angry, and that we need to learn to be content. But if you'll turn with me to Numbers chapter 12, our next point would be that we read of a story of Miriam and Aaron when they spoke against Moses, that this made the Lord angry. In Numbers chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard this. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and said unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. In the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous." So Moses was chosen by God to lead the people. And God was angry with Miriam and Aaron for speaking against Moses. People today will speak against God's leaders. Some examples is that there are leaders in the church today that are spoken against. We find from Titus chapter 1 and verse 5 that God wants elders in every city, in every church. But he wants men who meet the qualifications laid out in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. And those men should be appointed, and those men should be respected. But some people do not want elders, and if they have elders over them, they will speak against them. But God has also allowed men to serve in our government. He's allowed them to rule over us. Some people today, they want to rebel. They want to make fun of those in authority. In Romans chapter 13, this deals well with this very subject. In Romans chapter 13, begin reading with me from verse 1. It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must be needs subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, and fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." But also fathers are to be leaders of their families, and they must be obeyed, and they need to be respected. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on this earth." People today are very disrespectful. They don't want to be subject unto anyone. But we see of this story with God, how he was angry with Miriam and Aaron, and that we need to realize that God can become angry with us today. But another lesson from Numbers chapter 16 this time is a story where Korah and a group of people rebelled against Moses. So we find that the Lord became angry when the people rebelled. The story is found in Numbers 16, verse 3, and Numbers 13 and 14. But in Numbers chapter 16 and verse 21 and verses 31 to 35, it explains how the Lord felt about their rebellion. We find in those verses that he consumed them, the earth opened up, and it swallowed them up. And then the congregation rebelled against Moses. In Numbers chapter 16 and verse 41, it says, "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, You've killed the people of the Lord." So the Lord's wrath is seen in verse 49 of Numbers 16, that 14,700 people died in a plague. God has given us His Word. He's given it to us to follow it. And that there are bold men today who are going to stand and they're going to preach it. But there's sadly still going to be those today that are rebellious. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, it says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Rebellion is something that indicates that you and I have a heart problem. We find in Proverbs 17:11, it says, "An evil man seeketh only rebellion." And in Luke chapter 6, and verse 45, it says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. But an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaketh." So whatever is in your and I hearts is going to come out through our actions, and it's going to come out through our speech. Some people today are like the people mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 23. They have a revolting and a rebellious heart. Jeremiah goes on to say in verse 25, "Your iniquities have turned away these things. Your sins have withholden good things from you." So rebellion brings forth consequences. But when the people turned to idols, it made God angry. In Numbers chapter 25 and verse 3, it says, "And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel." In Judges chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, "They forsake the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods. Of the gods of the people that were round about them, they bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger." I want you to notice that the G mentioned there is a little g. And we know that refers to a false god or an idol. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17, beginning with verse 18. "Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Also Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and delivered them into the hand of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord, and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam which he did, they departed not from them. Until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all of his servants, the prophets, so was Israel carried out away from their own land to Assyria unto this day." We find from 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, that Solomon turned from God. It says, "The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and he commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not the commandment of the Lord." You and I can be guilty of this very thing today. Anything that comes between you and I would be considered an idol. That could be sports. That could be our jobs. It could be anything along those lines that is worldly and that keeps us from fulfilling our responsibilities and commitments to the Lord. We need to ask ourselves if this is becoming an idol or not. We find in Colossians 3:5 that covetousness is idolatry. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "For this ye know, that no whoremongers, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." We find in Galatians chapter 5 that idolatry is a work of the flesh, and that those who practice it will not inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19, it says, But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, simulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But from Joshua chapter 7, we learn that when the people took of the accursed thing, it made God angry. Beginning in verse 1 of Joshua 7, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in this cursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel." So when Israel went to battle against Jericho, they were told not to keep anything for themselves. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 18. But Achan, he took a garment, he took some silver, and even some wedge of gold. In Joshua 7:21. And so because of Achan's sin, God's people were defeated in battle. And God told them that He's not going to be with them anymore until the cursed thing was destroyed. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 12. It says, "Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you." And then Achan, after he did this, he tried to hide the things he took from God. But God knew. And that we cannot hide anything from God. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 24, it says, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I should not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord." And Numbers 32 and verse 23 says, "Be sure that your sin will find you out." So Achan, his family, and all of his possessions were stoned and they were burned. In Joshua 7:25. People today would probably say that was probably a harsh punishment. But this shows very well God's anger. And it shows what how he feels about someone who disobeys. And then people today, they take things that they should not, just as Achan did. Such as drugs. They take alcohol. They may even take a spouse. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, we read that people who steal, it says that, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." But we all will stand before God in judgment, and we're going to answer for the way we have lived. Those who obey will be punished with everlasting destruction, but those who obey will go into eternal life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning with verse 7. It says, "To who you are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." In Revelation 20, verse 15, it says, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So God said, do not take anything, and Achan took. We need to be careful that we're not doing this exact same thing today. But continuing on, we learn that when Uzzah disobeyed, it displeased the Lord. We read of this in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 7. It says, "The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God." Uzzah took hold of the ark when God had told the people not to touch it in 2 Samuel 6:6 and Numbers 4:15. People today would probably say this was not a big deal. It's natural instinct to reach up and touch something and keep it from falling if something is falling over. But we learn that when we disobey God, no matter how small or how large His commandment was, it'll make God angry. But we die spiritually when we disobey God today. We're not going to be struck dead on the spot, but there will be a punishment for us. In Isaiah 59 and verse 2, it says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." And when we disobey, we need to repent, and we need to ask God for forgiveness. In Acts 8:22. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not partakers with them." But we know that God will forgive. He will forgive those who ask for forgiveness. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespass and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by the nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then in 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, in the remainder of our time this morning, I would like to look at some New Testament examples of people who today who will provoke God's anger. Starting in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, we find that when men who are ungodly and unrighteous, that the wrath of God is revealed. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And in Psalm 1, verse 6, it says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Another verse that talks about the ungodly man is Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 27. If you turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, it gives some examples of God punishing the unrighteous, such as angels that sin were punished, the people before the flood, and then the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed these people. So, why would you think today it would be any different for us? Ungodliness, unrighteousness still make God angry, and we're still going to be punished to this day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. A lot of people believe that God is too loving to send anyone to hell. That verse teaches the exact opposite. We learn from 1 Corinthians 6:11 that it shows that those who are ungodly and unrighteous can turn from their ways to serve Him as long as they're alive. It says, such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And then finally, from Colossians chapter 3, we learn that men who are disobedient today stir up the Lord's anger. In Colossians 3, beginning in verse 5, it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the time which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. We learn that Paul says there are some things that you and I need to put on, and that there's some things we need to put off. In Colossians 3, beginning in verse 8. It says, but now also put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. People who are obedient will do this. They're going to put off, and then they're going to put on. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it says that every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Our disobedience today makes God angry, and I assure you that we will be punished for it. When we stand before the Lord in judgment, you and I will receive a reward based on our disobedience or our obedience. Those who obey will go into life eternal, and those who do not obey into eternal punishment, in Matthew 25:46. But many people, many today think God is just a God of love. But this morning, I think we've learned that He's not just a God of love, but we've learned that He is a God who can become angry, and that He's a God who will punish. And so if we're not living according to God's Word, you and I will see God's wrath. In Jeremiah 10:10 it says, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, an everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation." But our Lord doesn't want anyone to be lost. In 2 Peter 3:9 it says, "But the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And the Lord has provided us a way to be saved. We just need to obey His plan. It's by hearing God's Word, Romans 10:17. It's by believing it, Mark 16:16. It's by repenting of our sins, Luke 13:3. And then it's to confess your faith in Christ by saying, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." A great example of this is the Ethiopian eunuch from Acts 8 and verse 37. And then to be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. "But you must remain faithful unto death," Revelation 2:10, "so that you can receive your crown of life." It's possible you've done this, but you've fallen away. You need the prayers of the church. If you're subject to this invitation, I ask you to come forward as we stand, as we sing.